8,000 unsaved Jews. Here's Brother Moore.
Appreciate you watching this morning, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Will you turn in your Bible with me, please, to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I appreciate you watching the broadcast, and I hope it's a real blessing to you. Our aim at Berean Bible Study, Grace Believers Bible Study, our aim is to do exactly what the thing says. It's to study the Bible. And basically, there are a couple of things that we're interested in. Number one is your salvation. And for you to be saved, you have to believe the gospel. The gospel that we're referring to is the gospel preached by the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So we're interested in your salvation. Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For sometimes there are people that are saved, they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they've believed on Jesus Christ, receiving Him as the Lord and Savior, but they have very little knowledge of the truth. So the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, rightly dividing the word of truth is dividing the Gospels. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but that which was preached. For instance, during the time of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the minister of Christ, the preaching was the gospel of the kingdom. And the individual that believed that gospel identified himself with the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and being identified with the Lord in baptism. In Acts chapter 2 is the continuation of that same gospel. But later on, the Lord saved the Apostle Paul, which at that time his name was Saul, and gave him a different gospel, something brand new that men didn't know anything about. And that was the good news that Christ had died for our sins and was buried and risen from the dead. Now, today I want to talk to you, and if I had a topic, if I was going to name what I'm going to be doing, it would be something to the effect of 8,000 baptized believers and not one of them saved. That is, Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so forth. We know there's 8,000 that repented and were baptized, as in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4. So there'd be 8,000. But you know something? None of them were saved. People always talk about getting saved and then lose it. Can a saved individual then be lost? And they use Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth, Mark 16, and passages like, they use that to prove that people can be saved and then be lost. Problem is, those people never were saved. And so if you'll hang in there with me, I want to prove to you that they weren't saved. Now, in Romans chapter 11, the context has to do with Israel being cast away, the casting away of the children of Israel. Notice in verse 11, Romans 11, verse 11 said, I say then, if they stumble that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, so forth and so on. So the context is about their fall, their diminishing, and their future casting away. Now, in Romans 11, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant of them, when I shall take away their sins." Well, then, according to this passage, there is a day in the future when Israel as a nation are going to be saved. All Israel shall be saved. Now, we study the Bible by doing what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. That is, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now, take Acts chapter 2 in one hand, Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. Now, in Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. The preacher is the Apostle Peter. And so he begins to speak. Notice in verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Come to verse 22. He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words." Come to verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly," so forth and so on. There can be no doubt about it. The passage, the entire passage, has to do with what Peter preached unto Israel the day of Pentecost. Now, look in verse 37, Acts 2:37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Peter had preached a murder indictment against them, and he said, "You crucified the Messiah. You, by wicked hands, have crucified him, but God has raised him up, and he has shed forth this, which you're now seeing here," and so forth and so on. And so they were under conviction about what they had done. And so it says they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now the verse is twisted around based upon denominational standards. Notice that the verse doesn't say anything about anybody getting saved. Look at it again. Verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Well, the remission of sins is not the doing away with sins. It's just like somebody, we'll say, has cancer, and they begin to take treatment, and one day the doctors tell them that their cancer is in remission. Not that it's gone, not that it has been taken away, not that it's abolished, but it is in remission. And if that person who has that cancer, if they abuse themselves with certain kinds of food and whatever, there is sometimes a possibility that that cancer will flare up again. Well, so it is with these people here. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins." Not the blotting out of their sins. That came later. Look in Acts chapter 3 now. Acts chapter 3, same preacher, preaching to Israel again. Notice in verse 18, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Well, when would their sins be blotted out? Second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to put on the board up here, and I'll say that right here is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died in A.D. 33. All right? Back here is his ministry. Matthew through John would fit into this place right here. He's baptized at this point, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ is, he's crucified at that point. Now, in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to Israel that crucified their Messiah. And so they said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin. But he didn't say repent and be baptized, and all your sins are now blotted out. Repent and be baptized for remission of sin. But in Acts chapter 3, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, and so forth and so on. In other words, when would the 3,000 of Acts 2 and the 5,000 of Acts 4 be saved? When would their sins be blotted out? You don't have to be smart to get a hold of that. All you have to do is believe your Bible. He said, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's the day of atonement for Israel, when all Israel shall be saved. God said, this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. When will God blot out their sins? Second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, what about Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and so forth? Well, they're not saved. Their sins are not blotted out. Their sins are not washed away with water baptism, and on, as it is preached today. There's something wrong that is going on today. Now, 8,000 repentant, baptized believers. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. But they're not saved. They had to endure to the end to be saved, Jesus Christ told them. If they fell away before that time came, then there would be no hope for them. According to Hebrews chapter 6. Turn to Hebrews. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, notice verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken at that. Verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, the Hebrews, to whom the letter is written. Not the church, the body of Christ. The Hebrews here. The book is written to Hebrews. it is not written to the church, the body of Christ. Why, according to Galatians chapter 3, the Bible is very clear about verse 27, 28, that in Christ there is neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek in this time we live in. In other words, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you become a new creature in Christ spiritually. A spiritual person, which is neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. But this book here, the book of Hebrews, is written to Hebrews. You see, people are always trying to get the church involved in this thing here. Why? Because so many of them are led by the god of this world, who would have you to be discouraged and believe that you could lose your salvation. That's what they teach all the time. But you couldn't lose your salvation. You didn't work to get it, and you don't work to keep it. Christ is based upon what Jesus, salvation rather, is based upon what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary, and it's a done deal. He did everything at Calvary that needs to be done to save you. It's up to you to receive Him, claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hold of the passage and turn to Matthew chapter 24. There are people always trying to get the church into Matthew 24. Well, Matthew 24 has absolutely nothing to do with the church, which is the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, Matthew 24, 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The end, by comparing Daniel chapter 11, is clear that it's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is exactly like Peter told them in Acts chapter 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's the second coming. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, those that repented and were baptized back here could not be saved until Christ returned. Second coming. Romans chapter 11. All Israel shall be saved, as it is written. The deliverer shall roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness unto Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, he said, when I shall take away their sins. When would God take away Israel's sins? Second coming. It is called the atonement in the Bible. Now, back in Hebrews again. In Hebrews 3, verse 6, but Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Come down to verse 13. Hebrews 3:13. Excuse me. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Again, when would the Hebrews be a partaker of Christ? They'd be a partaker of Christ at the second coming. So, when they repented, were baptized, it was for remission of sins. But those that did so and endured to the end would be saved, their sins blotted out, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Totally different from the church, which is the body of Christ. If I were to put up here like so, and I say, okay, there's a parenthesis in here. This parenthesis represents the dispensation of the grace of God. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, God identified him with your sin. God identified Christ at Calvary with your sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible said there's none that doeth good. There isn't any that are good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. On and on and on. And so Christ then was identified with our sin. Now it is up to you, by faith, to identify yourself with his death on Calvary. The wages of sin is death. Christ died, and having died, paid the wages for your sin. And so what do? By faith, you identify yourself with him at Calvary, and your sins are blotted out, remembered no more. In other words, what is going to happen to Israel at the second coming happens to us as we believe on Jesus Christ, identifying with him there. For instance, look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. All right, in Romans chapter 5, let's start in verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That is, the rapture is going to come. We're going to be caught out, saved from wrath, physically. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Well, we've already received the atonement. What is going to happen to Israel as a nation out here happened to us at Calvary. Now, so then Israel was not saved in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth. They're going to be saved. The Bible is clear. But how about us? Well, we've already received the atonement. Well, what I learn about all this then, I learn that there isn't any such thing as an individual being saved and then getting lost again. Now, there were some people saved in Acts 2, but they weren't saved from their sins and damnation. Take Acts chapter 2 again and turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Acts 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3. Now I realize that people who are trying to reserve baptism for their use to draw a crowd and so forth twist the passage. Well, let's just see what it says. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, so forth and so on. Well, Peter himself said then that baptism saved them. Well, what did it save them from? Go back to Acts chapter 2. Now, he told them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Verse 39, Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, now watch, save yourselves from this underward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. How could they be saved from that evil generation? By identifying with Christ in water baptism. They weren't saved from damnation. They weren't saved from their sins with water baptism. They were saved from that generation. Jesus Christ several times called them snakes and vipers and an evil generation and so forth. And so Peter said, save yourselves from this underward generation. How could that happen? By repentance and water baptism. By repenting and being identified with Jesus Christ in water baptism. But how about you? Wouldn't do a thing for you. We are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection by faith and by spiritual baptism, as in Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We were identified in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. You can be saved by believing on Christ and trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Receive him, claim him, trust him, and God Almighty will save you. Not just from some evil generation, but he'll save you from your sins and from damnation. I thank you for watching the program today. Until next time, good day.